Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Any way you want it, the way you need it, any way you want it.
She loves the groove, she loves the loving way. All night, oh, every night. So hold tight, ooh, baby, hold tight.
Hey, how you doing? This is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. Appreciate everybody joining us. Call us up, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just push one. Appreciate everybody joining along. Just getting started today. See what's going on out there in the world and see how things are doing. You know, it's crazy. We're still talking about those railroads because another train derailed out there in Ohio. But nobody was hurt on this one, and most of the cars are just empty. So, you know. That's about it. The other thing we were talking about yesterday, big news, that autonomous trucking, Embark, I mean, they're gone, done, kaput, belly up. They're going to be shutting down operations, and they went from $5 billion down to zero in just 16 months. And the article that I read yesterday was really interesting because it broke down at the very bottom of the article. It showed me that several of the companies are all shut down. They're all done. They're all closed. The True Simple is one of the ones that's still in operation after going public. Initial valuation at around $8.5 billion. The company now has a market cap of $460 million. So really big drop, right? Aurora, based out of Pittsburgh, it went public. Actually, it says announced in the summer of 21 that it would go public via a merger with SPAC at an initial market capitalization of around $13 billion, including about $2.5 billion in cash, which, hey, that's a lot of money, right? shares are now down more than 90% from their post-debut peak. So, no, you know, seems like to me, this is a scam. This is what it looks like. It's a scam. Now, Embark, along with all of the investment firms, all this money, this big money, like we talked about yesterday, it's Mitt Romney money. It's the money on top of the money. It's that big money behind all the other money. So they have all these investment firms backing these companies up, you know, because the technology looks, it's awesome, right? They're like, hey, let's do it, right? And that's what happens. Well, even Knight Swift invested in them. And who knows what kind of a hit they took, you know? Any kind of money they gave them, any kind of checks they wrote, well, they're cash now, and the guy's buying his yacht with it, right? And that's what I'm saying is that these people that started this company, these companies up, they're done. I mean, even the first one on the list was a San Francisco-based Otto, O-T-T-O. One of the earlier startups focused on self-driving trucks sold out to Uber for $680 million in 2016. And then 2 years later, Uber shuttered the self-driving truck division and said it would focus autonomous driving efforts on cars. So maybe they just wanted that the rights to that technology so that they can use it for their cars. But, I mean, you know, everything's about the trucks, and then next thing they know, doesn't work. You know, doesn't work. And I mean, yeah, come on. When you're dealing with people's jobs, there's going to be a little resistance. But also, too, it doesn't work in real life. Doesn't work when you put it out in the practical use. So, you know, and that's what you see a lot of that. I don't know if you guys are into documentaries or any kind of like docudramas or whatever like that. So there was a true story about this woman who, like, she was at Stanford, I think, or what it was. I'm not real sure, but Silicon Valley kind of thing. But she started up this company where she invented this machine that would analyze blood. And give you and find all these things wrong with your blood in the matter of seconds, just by putting a few drops of blood into this little computer, this little box. And she made millions and millions and millions of dollars. She got her friends to write her checks. She got big investment firms to fund her money, you know, she's now, it's in the news recently. I mean, they're having the trial now, or she was convicted. I'm not real sure, but it was a big deal. And she frauded a bunch of people out of money because the technology never worked. And the big deal was, is they knew it didn't work. She knew it was a fake. The top people, the top executives of the company, you know, all these people who are working there, I don't know what they were doing. They were either trying to make it work or they were trying to, I mean, they were doing other things probably, you know, writing software for, you know, or calling people to get investments or trying to make sales and all that. And it was fake and they knew it was fake. And now she's going to jail, you know. So this to me is, this is a scam too, because that many companies and they're all gone. I mean, they're done. You know, I don't know if it was a COVID that messed it up or whatever, but it's just, they're done. And what I think, of course, I think the biggest thing with the self-driving technology and why it's not working out very well is all these engineers and all these smart people that are coming up with the technology, see, they want to make money. They want to make money, all right? And anybody here in the trucking industry will tell you, if you want to make money out of the trucking industry, like, you can make a living. But if you want to make that bank, if you want to make millions of dollars, no, it ain't going to happen in the trucking industry. You're not going to invent a technology like this and then all of a sudden be a gazillionaire. Because, I mean, they're not trying to make millions. They're trying to make billions is what they're trying to do. You know what they're doing. They're taking this money. They're giving themselves huge salaries. The technology ain't working. And they're saying, okay, we're done. And it's all legal because they're in the company, they own the company, they work for the company, they're making money. You know, all the engineers that work for them, they're all making money. They all want to get paid. You know, and all these big guys, you know, like the one guy, Embark, two guys started it. They were both 19, 20 years old when they started it. So you know it was a big deal where they wanted it, right? Yeah. It ain't gonna happen that way. So yep. And then you know what they do is they rent out lush office buildings with the big huge computers, and you know they enjoy it. And then you know then the guy's like, okay, so what have you come up with? And they're like, well, it's not really working out that well. You know, I mean, that's just the way it looks. So yeah, these big companies, self-driving trucks, guess what? It ain't working. And the thing is, though, the way they're selling it, Embark actually had a good idea, which is let's keep the driver in the truck. He'll just drive around the city, and the self-driving will drive down the highway. And I would love that. I'd love it. If I was over the road, I'd love it to where I can, you know, do all my stuff, do all my deliveries, get out of town, stop at the truck stop, get something to eat, you know, get cleaned up, and then get out back on the highway, hit the button, and go to bed. You know what I mean? That'd be awesome. But I guess didn't work out that way. FreightWaves actually put out an article about trucker's final mile, looks like. It says, who pays when a truck driver dies on the road? No federal mandate requires carriers to pay deceased drivers' expenses. It says, while recruiters are always searching for skilled truck drivers and using sign-on bonuses and paying incentives to attract drivers to come work for their trucking companies, there's little mention of what happens to the expenses or who pays for them if the driver suffers a medical emergency or dies in a fatal crash while under the load. And, excuse me. It says that's because there's no federal mandate by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration requiring trucking companies to pay the expenses when a driver, who is often thousands of miles from home, dies on the road for any reason unless there's a contractual agreement in place. Although owner-operators say they know all too well of the financial hardship that a death on the road could cause their families. Some independent contractors, leased to large fleets and company drivers, say they wrongly assumed the carriers would pay their expenses if they died on the road. Robert Palm, a 43-year-old trucking veteran and founder of Trucker's Final Mile, says he's heard just about every excuse in the book. While some executives of small carriers and mega fleets can't or won't pay the cost to help bring the deceased drivers home. And with today's freight environment, some owner-operators and small mid-sized fleets are operating on razor-thin margins, which puts an additional strain on nonprofits like Palm's organization to pay the expenses to get a deceased truck driver home on their grieving family. While some trucking companies are quick to retrieve their equipment and freight, Palm said, the carriers often send grieving families to Trucker's Final Mile, which relies solely on donations to deal with the logistical arrangements and expenses of their tragedies. Palm, who runs the charity from the cab of his truck, counts on other volunteers from the trucking industry who are passionate about the mission they embarked on nearly 9 years ago. Over the past few years, nonprofit organizations like Trucker Final Mile have struggled to stay afloat. First, it was the pandemic-related cancellation of an in-person trucking events in 2020 and 2021, and now it's falling freight rates and economic uncertainties in the industry because some donors have had to rethink their budgets. Because I interact with CEOs of companies that make thousands of dollars a year, or that make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, operate brand new equipment, but can't or won't fork over $2,500 to bring their deceased drivers home. Palm said in a previous interview with FreightWaves, but when these same CEOs will turn around and spend thousands on recruiting ads and photo ops to show how well they treat their drivers, it's unacceptable. He says, while he never names the carriers, Palms doesn't mince words when he and other members of his group chip in funds on their own pockets to pay transportation expenses for deceased drivers on some of the mega fleets in the North America that posted billions of dollars in revenue last year. I had a company tell me one time that his deceased driver was his best driver, and he thought of his driver like a son, Palm told FreightWaves. He noted that the owner's fleet had the newest trucks on the market, and they were decked out to the max in a chrome and chicken lights. Says, if this driver was like a son to the owner, I thought, Why are you calling Trucker's Final Mile to pay the expenses to get him home? Palm said, if you send a driver out on the road to work, but you can't afford to get the driver home if something happens, or to help his family that sacrificed everything to help you build your successful business, you shouldn't be in my industry. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics website states that professional truck drivers have one of the highest rates of injuries and illness of all occupations because of the potential for traffic crashes on highways. Truck drivers also have one of the highest rates of fatalities of all the occupations. In 2022, Palm's charity, a 501c3, helped the families of about 90 drivers, including many military veterans who went into the trucking industry after serving their country. The past few years have taken a toll on Palm and his small group of volunteers who work behind the scenes with medical examiners' offices and to get death certificates, coordinate arrangements with funeral homes, and speak with grief-stricken families. Says Palm said his group often makes 14 or more phone calls to arrange transportation and navigate government red tape. In some cases, it can drag the process out for weeks or even months for all the toxicology and other reports to be completed to the medical examiner can issue a death certificate. Because these families often can't assess funds or insurance policies without the driver's death certificate, so we know how important our assistance to them to help them, he said. He said, if we are called to help, we don't ask about insurance policies and the GoFundMe has been set up or to help cover costs. We don't care. Good on them. The people are willing to help them financially. They're just suffering a huge loss. He says some carriers have internal programs that work with their deceased driver's home. However, Palm said those drivers must enroll and agree to have weekly deductions taken out of their pay to cover those just-in-case transportation costs if they will hopefully never need. However, driver's orientation with a new carrier can be overwhelming, Palm said, and sometimes those critical boxes go unchecked or families assume the trucking companies are responsible to get their loved ones home if tragedy strikes on the road. Says Palm said he would like to see an industry come together and treat the deceased truck drivers like the military provides for its soldiers. He would like industry stakeholders to create a policy that there's no gap in coverage if you leave a company and immediately sign on and go to another company. One situation stands out at Palm, a veteran who served in the 101st Airborne Division in U.S. Army from 1975 to 1980. Says a driver who served two tours in Afghanistan decided to become a truck driver. He said, after spending several years hauling dry freight, this driver decided he wanted to pull tankers and haul hazardous materials. But the company he was with for six or seven years, didn't have tankers. To advance his career and boost his pay to provide for his family, he signed on with a new tanker company. The driver was told at orientation that his benefits would kick in after 90 days. The two-tour military veteran died on his 82nd day in his truck. I called his old company and his new company. Both said he didn't qualify for any benefits, so we helped to get this man home to his family. Shouldn't happen in an $800 billion industry. There you go. So this is one of those things where we don't like rules. You know, we want to be able to be free. You know, we want people to be able to make their own decisions. But maybe there needs to be a rule. If they don't want to do it, you know, maybe we're just going to have to set that up and be part of the insurance. You know, the insurance companies are the ones with these smaller fleets. If you're out there trying to get a job with a smaller fleet, or if you're trying to hire drivers being part of a smaller fleet, the insurance companies are the ones actually setting the stipulations on who you can hire and who you can't. You know, they're wanting to know the background checks and the driving records and all that before they'll insure the driver. They want to know that stuff, especially if you're in a small fleet. And those are the ones. So maybe that should be included in the insurance policies. As you can see, 90 people helped by one charity organization. That's not a lot. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I don't think it's a lot, considering there's so many highway tragedies. You know, I mean, I would think that the 90 is probably the where they pass away in the truck. You know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's that much to me. If you had a insurance policy kick in for those 90, you know, then it wouldn't be that big of a deal. You know, I'm sure Robert would like to be out of business when it comes to Trucker's Final Mile if there was some kind of system in place. But, you know, he's always the one doing it. There's been other organizations, but he's the one, he's kept it going. And he's had a lot of bumps and bruises along the way. People have volunteered and taken advantage of his generosity and have taken, they've kind of used his platform to kind of advance themselves. And really it just doesn't seem like they were very, very good people. They took advantage of the attention that they got from being part of Trucker's Final Mile. But Robert's always stayed strong and kept it going, and it's pretty awesome. So, we know the guys over there, and we've dealt with them before. They've always been to the truck shows. It's always been a lot of fun hanging out with those guys there when they're doing events and stuff. So if you look them up, Trucker's Final Mile, you can donate to them whenever you want. In fact, let me see if there is – I thought maybe that there might be thinking of is a if they had anything like St. Jude or something where you can click on a deal, enter a credit card, and have like $5 a month come out of you, you know, come off your card or something. But they've got a donate button. Yeah, okay. See, so he's got a deal set up with PayPal, and he'll charge your credit card or your PayPal account. He'll charge it, you know, whatever you set up monthly. So that you can do that through Trucker's Final Mile. So if you go to truckersfinalmile.org, and you can do that right there. It's a big deal. It's always something going on. You see it a lot. We also had a nice married couple start up a missing trucker alert network where they got on social media, and if somebody had not heard from their truck driver, you know, in a while, they put an alert out looking out for the truck. That's happened before. You know, that happens quite often. So yeah, it's a deal where you can you can check it out where you can look for a truck, because what happens is sometimes the truck driver will just pass away in the night while they're sleeping in the truck, in the truck stop, and nobody knows. Truck's just sitting there, you know, and unless somebody's looking for you, you know, ain't nobody going to come looking for you. But let's see here. Whoop, wrong deal again. I don't know why it does that. But yeah, it's definitely something to think about. If you're, you know, wanting to donate to charities, truckersfinalmile.org is a good one to donate to. Of course, you can donate to Redneck and Eyes too. You can do that on our website, redneckandeyes.com. And we appreciate everybody's support on helping us out, keeping things going, and trying to make the trucking industry a better place. We're here live every weekday. And let me get it fired up here. There you go. We're live here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio, all things trucking and then some. Just talking about life on the road and things. Appreciate everybody's support. One of the great sponsors I like to check out is load-to-ride transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Give them a call at 720-277-0030. It's a great trucking company out of Denver, Colorado. They're drop-dead busy over there. So if you're looking for somebody to go work for and you want to be a company driver, check them out. Load-to-ride transportation at ltrtransportation.com. That's ltrtransportation.com at 720-277-0030. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. We'll see you in a bit.
Yeah. all dressed so scantily. When they play their music, that hard rock music, they sing it with a lot of flash. But it's still that same old backbeat rhythm that really, really kicks them in the. They say the harder rock and roll is your beat. And from what I've seen, I believe them. Now the old one may be better freedom, but the harder rock and roll, harder rock and roll is your beat. Them.
Hey, this is Ed with Rick and Nick on Redneck and Eyes Radio. Welcome back. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along. So we got everything going on this evening. We're talking about, well, we talked about yesterday, is the downfall of the self-driving trucks and how they just fell apart. And, of course, an article that FreightWaves released about Trucker's Final Mile, that was really interesting read, and about talking about, is there a rule? Should there be a rule? I don't know. What do you think? Truck drivers pass away out on the road. Who's responsible for getting them home? Shouldn't the carriers, you know, have to do something? I mean, shouldn't there be some type of insurance policy that the driver doesn't, or automatically, you know, I mean, let's just include it in the price of doing business. How about we do that? How about we just have a system in place where the driver doesn't have to sign up for anything and it's not part of the benefits? It's part, you know, it's kind of like if you're a truck driver, the story that we saw on here that that Robert talked about was that the truck driver left one company, went to another company, and his benefits would all kick in after 90 days. Well, he passed away on his 82nd day, and nobody would pay anything. The last company he worked for wouldn't pay anything, and the company he was currently working for wouldn't pay nothing. So maybe that part of the policy. I mean, like, if the driver got into an accident and got injured, then his, like, workers' comp would kick in right away, right? I don't know. I mean, maybe it won't. I don't know. But you would think that the passing away or an injury due to, like if he was injured in the car accident, he would get stuff paid for, right? I mean, this is the whole thing about insurance right there, man. I'm going to tell you something. I don't like insurance one bit. It's a scam, but it's what we got. That's what we use. But I'm telling you, the people that come up with insurance, they collect dues and they give you a pat on the back saying everything's going to be all right. And then when it comes time to cash in, they're like, let me double check all this. And they scrutinize the hell out of you. You know, you're the best person in the world until they got to pay out something. You know, just like the one truck driver that passed away, and the owner of the company said, he was my best driver. I treated him like a son. He felt like a son to me. Yeah, well, why are you not paying to get him home then, you know, after he passed away? You know, that kind of thing. So that's what it is. You know, they're like, you know, I mean, you know, you get that kind of point of view. It's like, hey, man, you guys are doing great. We'll do anything for you. Well, how about you do this? No, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, come on. So that was an interesting little read there. And what we talked about a little bit yesterday was the video that showed the American citizens getting kidnapped down in Mexico. Well, there was four of them, and two and turned up dead, and the police in Mexico found the other two. And so yeah. that's down there. It's a little border town just south of Brownsville. So I know people that go down there all the time and, you know, don't think anything of it. So I don't know what to tell you. It's really weird to see that. Of course, this could be a new thing. You know, the State Department does have a don't travel to that area order. So, you know, that's what it got to go, you know, see how it goes on that. So, here, just CNN's got Norfolk Southern conductor killed in accident involving a dump truck at Ohio Steel facility. It says Norfolk Southern conductor was killed Tuesday after being struck by a dump truck at a facility in Ohio, prompting a National Transportation Safety Board investigation. I tell you what, the people, the NTSB in the Ohio, Pennsylvania area, they're working their asses off right now. And it's triggered. It's telling them. It says they need to look at the railway safety culture due to the number and significance of the recent accidents. The conductor, identified as 46-year-old Luis Schuster, he says, was fatally injured early Tuesday morning at the Cleveland Cliffs Cleveland Works property. The railroad said the news release that the third incident involving the railroad in the state in just over a month. So Schuster was struck when a dump truck carrying limestone collided with the front left side of the first car of the train. He was outside the car when he was struck, the Cleveland police spokesperson told CNN. Norfolk Southern, in working with Ohio governor, and I'll just tell you, it's dark. It was probably dark outside still, and I'm gonna tell you something, man. They move. You better be moving and watching. And I don't know. Somebody needs to call Mike Rowe on this one. This is a safety first thing. I think when I see a lot of stuff like this happening, and you think, why is it happening? Do we need to rethink the safety procedures or the culture? I don't think it's necessarily the safety rules. I think it's just common sense goes away. Mike Rowe's argument was that common sense goes away when you have so many safety rules. When you have so many safety rules, what it does is the mind eliminates all the possibility. When it's as long as the rules are followed, nothing can happen, right? Well, then your carefulness in the yard is kind of diminished. You're not as careful because everybody should be following the rules. And it's like, what if somebody isn't? Or what if, you know, something is askew or messed up, which can happen. And like the person outside the train, you know, he was struck because the train was struck, and he was not in the train. He was outside the train. Well, you know, you got to think that if you're outside an area that has a lot of metal and moving parts and everything, that you're going to be extra cautious. And, you know, he might not have been, because why would anybody smack into the train and do something, right? But also the dump truck driver, you know, in he's probably assuming that the roads are always clear. And even if the road doesn't look clear, it's clear enough. You know, it's one of those things where they've got it painted on the ground or some aspects of it is always like the train is always out of the way. It's never in the way. Whenever the train is stopped, it's always out of the way. Or, you know, I've done this turn or crossed this track, you know, 1,000 times a day, and nothing's ever happened before. So why should I worry about it now? And that to me, that's always the case. It's that, you know, we get into a habit of doing things, and then we got all these safety rules, and then our just awareness goes out the door when you should always be looking no matter what. I think I remember when I was on these yards moving extra careful, and you just see it. You just see people just flying, moving around, not looking, doing whatever they want because, you know, there's rules in place. As long as you follow the rules, nothing will happen. Well, the problem is rules don't always get followed. You know, you can't always predict that all the rules are going to get followed no matter what. So He says the NTSB said in a statement later that the safety culture probe encompasses multiple incidents and three deaths since December of 21, including a toxic East Palestine derailment and the employee killed earlier Tuesday. It is already investigating an October 28th derailing in Sandusky, Ohio. The NTSB is concerned that several organizational factors may be involved in the accidents, including safety culture. So as the board said in a statement, the NTSB will conduct an in-depth investigation into the safety practices and culture of the company. At the same time, the company should not wait to improve safety, and the NTSB urges it to do so immediately. Norfolk Southern CEO is scheduled to testify before a Senate committee Thursday. Norfolk Southern has been in touch with the conductor's family and will do all it can to support them and his colleagues. Says, we are grieving for the loss of the colleagues today. Our hearts go out to his loved ones during the extremely difficult time, the railroad said. The Norfolk Southern CEO said in a separate statement, the railroad will hold safety briefings with employees on Wednesday as part of the broader effort to rebuild our safety culture from the ground up. I mean, basically, in my opinion, you need to call Mike Rowe, and you need to have Mike Rowe talk, and you need to have Mike Rowe say, common sense. It's all common sense. Pay attention. Don't get stressed out. Don't, you know, the thing of it is, though, it's funny. Here's what will happen, okay? They'll have safety briefings, and all the big bosses, all those plant managers and all the middle managers, they'll be in the front, and they'll be say, take your time. Don't hurry. Don't get into a rush, right? Safety first. Make sure it's done safely, okay? As soon as the meeting's over with, get your ass moving. Don't stop. We got to hurry. I mean, that's what it does, okay? You know who doesn't go to the safety briefings? Managers. They don't go to the safety briefings. Okay? We had safety. I remember I was doing in Swift Transportation. We were having safety meetings. The office personnel was having safety meetings about being safe. The office personnel. You know who was not there? The managers. They didn't attend the safety meeting. They didn't care. It's not their priority. They're the ones giving the as soon as the meeting's over. No, they don't care. That's the culture. The culture is the manager. It's not the manager's fault. It's not the manager's fault. They're not being safe. Get on their ass. Okay. When you're not being safe, they're not being safe. Bottom line. So that's all I got about that. And I think I'm going to end it on that because that's what it is. If you're not being safe, they're not being safe. So think about that. And really, like Mike Rowe always says, it has nothing to do about safety rules. It's all about being safe. Thinking in the manner of, you know, I'm going to be safe. I'm still going to do my job. And I can do it efficient if you get off my back with all these rules. But again, your mindset changes when you're focused on, when everything's focused on safety. It's kind of like racism, okay? If everything's focused on safety, then nothing's focused on safety. All right, because that's just the way it goes. Your mind changes on that. Everything's safe. No, it's not. It's never safe, right? Just like, why do drivers still fall out of the truck? Why can't they do the three-point stance getting in and out of the truck? Why do they still fall out and break their legs, you know, or fall and hurt their back? Why? Because it's not on their mind. They don't think about it. They're never thinking about that, you know? And that's the thing is, like, you know, it's kind of like when you're afraid of heights, you know, how you take extra precaution because you're, oh, wow, I'm high up. I better watch it. You know, truck drivers are up in that truck, which is what? In some instances, 6 feet above the ground. You know, your head is, what, 10 feet almost above the ground. And, you know, if you don't watch it, one slip, you know. And we just don't think about it. It's not even part of what we talk about because drivers still jump out of the truck. You know, they still land on their legs or knees jumping out of the truck. You know, they still will get out not holding on to anything. They'll still try to get in not holding on to anything. You know, you see a lot of guys. Some guys, they're bigger. I mean, like I'm a big guy. They're bigger than me. And I see them jumping up in the truck. And it's like, man, you're gonna hurt something because you're going to slip. And then go down, and that's going to hurt. So stuff like that. Just we're it's not on the mind, you know. But what it is, it's about, you know, managers. Managers got to be safe. They're not always safe. Managers are not always safe. They don't go to the briefings. So when they're not safe, then their employees aren't safe. So yeah, that's what it's all about. So appreciate everybody joining along tonight. We're going to end it on that. And I appreciate everybody listening and following along. Like I said, you can check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find links to that on our website. And check us out here every weeknight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Call us up, 515-602-9731. Appreciate all of our sponsors. DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. Trucker Tools at truckertools.com. And then Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. Appreciate all their support. So you guys have a great night, and y'all be safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.